All things apostolic deals with a lot of things, and sometimes it's just kind of fun being together. But other times it's dealing with profoundly important subjects. Today is a little talk about some of those things, and I hope to continue it next week. And it hooks to the last couple weeks too, but don't forget it. Be with us today. Get it all so you can hopefully learn with us. God bless you. June, we're crossing the Great Divide this month to the last half of the year. It seems like we haven't got enough done in the first 6 months, but we're going to keep working on it. So today, we have been talking about impediments to leadership. We have, you could talk a long time about impediments to leadership. And one simple one is the reticence and the refusal to learn, to move forward, to humble ourselves, to learn from people that we may have done more than they have in particular areas, but they know this slice. But we'll never know that slice because we won't humble ourselves to get it. And there's other many reasons. Some are practical reasons. Some have to do with finance. Some have to do with all kinds of things. So some people have an orientation to non-progressiveness. They were raised with it. They didn't create it. They were raised with it. So these talks that we're doing here, we're talking to you. And we're talking to all of us because none of us were raised in the optimal atmosphere that once you get the revelation of that atmosphere and what that all entails, our parents just didn't know that. And many of our mentors and school teachers didn't know that because it comes from originally, there's a theology behind it. So if you never study biblical theology or a theology of biblical leadership, then you don't get that. So somebody says, where do I get a biblical theology of leadership? Well, there's not many places you get it because a biblical theology of leadership, it dovetails with an apostolic, obviously, theology of leadership. And so who knows something about that that could be of help to us? So I would say that is the reason that Wilson University is created. Wilson University doesn't do a lot of bragging, but it does say that there was a very wise leader one time that said, you know a tree by its fruit. So if you compare graduates, particularly of the Wilson Grad Cert Leadership Program, which is only about 6 months, but people that have graduated that or even went further and received a master's degree, now you're going to be able to, with the beginning of 2026, receive a fully apostolic master's degree. It's got apostolic theology in areas that there's never been an apostolic theology. We just took the theology of Baptists or whoever we're reading, whoever wrote a book, and that's been done for 100 years. However, or longer than that, however, all of that's changing dramatically. And so our validation that we do have revelation about an apostolic biblical theology of leadership is to go see the people and talk to them who have been through this revelatory content and ask them what impact it had, how much impact it had on their ministry, their life, and how they pastor their church. And you will hear person after person that will concede that this is, if not the primary one of, but in almost every case, the primary game changer, life changer, deal changer in their life in terms of ministry. So that's not that's not bragging on the school or anybody. It is revelation. And revelation can come to anybody. So when revelation has come in a larger volume and has come in such a way that it can be sequenced, we have discovered, this is a big experiment, but we have discovered that these revelations can be transferred. And they can be transferred to others who are interested in apostolic Pentecostal leadership. Now, I've had a lot of people say, a number of people through the years have asked, you know, why don't you write a pop leadership book that everybody could read and it could become a bestseller and make money to fund the works that we really care about. So my response is that you can't hardly popularize the theological underpinnings of biblical theological leadership. It's not like seven steps to successful leadership or 12 primary understandings or six ways to change your thinking. Or, and I want to tell you, there are pop leadership books that have stuff that can help you. Not against popular, common leadership books. However, there is no books on the pop market or on the academic market or that I know of on any denominal religious markets that has apostolic, Pentecostal, theological leadership revelation, because it has to come in and through. You can't take people where you've never been. So it has to come through apostolic Pentecostal people. And we've had people who understood leadership through the years, obviously, but they never wrote. And some of these things, they were just simply never exposed to. So I would say that's important. I would say it's important. That theological base is, it's also the theological basis. It started out when we came to Sacramento. We had learned some things in Flint, Michigan, where we had incredible revival in 6.5 years, incredible revival. So we had learned some things, but they were still a little bit spongy, that we hadn't come to a point where we understood this works clear cut, just like that right there. So, and these are theological understandings. They came two ways. One is they came through study of God's word and persistent and consistent reading and study of God's word for a lifetime. And secondly, they came through prayer and reflection and meditation and thinking through. A third way that they came through was, and I think this is as important as the other two, an incredibly deep passion for the work of God, for the people of God, a love for the kingdom of God as we know it and understand it, a love for the message, a love for the revelation of how the gospel is applied through repentance and through water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and through the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Those aren't just theological check boxes to check off and say, yeah, I'm that. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, I got that. No, there's theological content in each of those things that penetrates deep into multiple layers of understanding. And then they connect in dozens of ways to other theological realities in the Bible, and they spread into a whole revelatory fabric that's made of these many threads. And it is indeed a coat of many colors, and it is spectacularly beautiful. When you can take that coat, it makes it into a coat that we would call a coat of anointing. Then when you can take that coat made of those many threads, you got to start way back there. And they had to start with the sheep cutting off the wool and then making the wool into thread and so forth. But it is a coat of many colors, and it is the coat, the cloak, a cloak of advanced anointing. And when you look at these churches and you see what's happening in those churches, it's not that these people have suddenly taken some kind of pill with a lot of caffeine in it. There are no shortcuts to it. I've had people get offended because I said this, but they're the ones that said it. Talking to them, laying foundations for these kinds of understandings, which takes hours. What are you going to do with your life? If you're called to ministry, why would you say, oh, that takes too long? What? Well, this is what you do. Anybody that's got the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name ought to feel this way. This is what we are. This is what we do. Particularly if you are in specific important leadership positions, this is what we do. Somebody says, well, I don't want to spend 4 years or 2 years or whatever, or 6 months getting a degree or a leadership certificate like you're speaking about. Well, 6 months from now, you're going to be 6 months older without knowledge, more knowledge that you don't have now and that you're not going to find places to get because they're not apostolic locations. The sources you seek are not apostolic. So all of the preachers that preach, and I would like to get on this, but I don't have time. All of the preachers that preach against education, education is such a tattered and shop-worn word that we can't even use. It's lost much of its value. But it's so broad and has been smashed down to apply to so many things that education really just becomes to know, to know anything. So if somebody's preaching against education, they're preaching against things that dangers inherent in, or they're preaching against biases that may have come from all the way back to the first of the century. There have been all of these kind of things. But the Bible is very clearly a book that says, study to show thyself approved. It is a book that the disciples, the New Testament, the disciples of Jesus Christ, the 12 original apostles, had 3 years of college immersion with the master teacher of the universe. Think about that. Those 3 years, day and night with him, that was them learning. That was them. The stuff they wrote later, they didn't dream that up. He taught that to them and opened the doors of how they could receive knowledge. So the sources are pretty limited. And there's a lot of people that have the Holy Ghost and are apostolic, but they don't, they've never been there either. So some are educators, even pastors. You can tell the difference. Pastors talk to me after they have immersed themselves in these things and say, while I'm preaching, my church now comes up, people in my church, and say, what has happened to you? Same man, same Holy Ghost, all of the above. But what has happened to you? And what happened is they have experienced the electric elixir of divine revelation and the coordinating result of that in a person's actions and ministry. Ministry, the last and most important part of ministry is action. There's a whole vinculum. It starts back here with vision. It ends up with action. And so a lot of people are doing action, action, action. Oh, I just read a new deal. How to win people with this tool, or how to, but that's all on the action level. It has value, but for action to be right, you have to go backwards. Then you go back five steps. I'm not going to get into all that today, but it's a vinculum, a linkage to get the kind of ministry anointing that has durability, sustainability, and turns a preacher into somebody that has pastored or been at a place 20 years as pastor, but they've really only pastored a year or two because they've exhausted in a year or two what they know. They have not advanced, and so that it's a repetition of that in different, on a different plate, or with different napkins or whatever. And so people have, some people are living in churches that have a pretty steady diet that is slim pickings. So, but we don't have to do that. It's not because leaders are dumb. It's because they haven't been exposed. And they have people that try to keep them from that exposure. They really do. Friends, oh, you don't want to do that. You want to, you know. So, and you have to overcome that. If you're going to go all the way with Jesus, you're going to have to find out Jesus is the friend you have to listen to. Because you've got friends, you have friends that are enemy to your progress. And they will throw up their obstacles and their roadblocks with all kinds of theories of why you need to stay as ignorant as you are and why we shouldn't grow. When the fact of the matter is, we can and we should. And next week, if I can get to it, I was going to do it this week. I just can't get to all of this. But next week, I want to talk about, there's a theological underlayment that I talked about last week. We just had a graduation at the Rock Church, which is built upon these principles in general. Now, it's not perfect, but it's got, but these are the revelations behind what the stimuli that created the stimuli that's made is making. We had in the Rock Church of our saints, we had our graduation. We have a church graduation. And we had six doctorates, six people who have received their doctor's degree that we are celebrating. And we got three more that are in process that in another year or so, they will have theirs. And then, so that's nine. Right now in the church, without that nine, we have 17 people with a doctorate degree. And let me finish before you criticize. Don't you turn that off. And that'll be 26 people with a doctorate degree. So what do you do? What's that all about? Well, first, let me tell you, there's probably not any church in America. I don't care what kind, whether it's Catholic or whether it's Baptist or whether it's Seventh-day Adventist, because they encourage medical stuff. But anyway, there would be very few that has that. And there won't be probably any that had six graduate with their doctorates that we celebrate in church. Why do we celebrate it? Well, I can't get to all this in one ATA. But the reason I talk about that is because degrees are simply quantifiable ways of talking about becoming. The whole church, there's hundreds and hundreds of people who understand this helping become framework. There's a whole underlayment of theology behind that. It's not a gimmick. It's not something triggered off of my charismatic personality. If it was, you wouldn't get very far. Or anybody else's charismatic personality. It's much deeper. It's much more reliable and sustainable than all of that. I mean, it is important to be friendly, and it is important to show love to people and to wake people up in church. I mean, all that matters. But I'm talking about something beyond all of that. And so it's not about education as such. It's about becoming the you that God has give you the potential to become. So we'll talk about this some more. Thank you for being with us.